I want you to turn to two passages of Scripture this morning, Ephesians chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter number 12. Ephesians chapter number 4 and Hebrews chapter number 12. In Hebrews 4, you find a familiar passage of Scripture, verse number 30, when we're going to focus on verse 31 and 32. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness..." Let me pause there. How much? All. Yeah. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Then in Hebrews chapter number 12, I want to read two verses, verse number 14 and verse number 15. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." Notice this. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." I wonder, has anyone ever said something to you or done something to you for which you found it difficult to forgive them? I'm talking about when you see them and every time you hear their name being brought up, even if their wrong against you was years ago, it still brings an uneasiness in your body, soul, and spirit. When you think of them, maybe your heart races or heart rate increases a little bit, and you can feel your blood pressure rising when you think of whatever it is that they said or did. In fact, just thinking about it right now causes you to relive it all over again. Did someone just come to your mind as I was talking about that? Did those feelings come back? If that's the case, you need to realize that you quite possibly are being held in the bonds of bitterness. It's not a good place to be, being a prisoner to bitterness. What is really a shame is that most of the time, bitterness doesn't even touch the person that we're bitter toward. It doesn't concern them at all. But I can tell you, it sure will harm us. Bitterness can cause damage beyond our imagination. It's an internal poison that eats away from the inside out in our life. Many times, the other person may continue on with their life, may be happy and content and possibly never even think about us, but because we're bitter against them, they continue to exert control in our life. And if they think about it or see us, they may get some sort of satisfaction in seeing that they can still get at us just by being there. Let me give you just two examples of what I'm talking about for just a moment here. And these are just two examples. First, someone who was molested as a young child or teenager becomes bitter toward their molester. That's understandable. But we need to see that the molester continues to touch the victim until the victim gives that bitterness to God. Okay? Another example would be those who were physically abused by a parent. I'm talking about where a parent went beyond what would be considered proper discipline, and as long as one continues to hold bitterness against an abuser, they continue to be abused by them. One must give that bitterness to God. Now, those are just two examples. May not even touch your example that's in your life. Understand that many emotions that we feel are not necessarily sin. We know that anger is not always a sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ got angry. In Ephesians 4:26, it tells us to be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It's possible for us to have a righteous indignation. Jesus, when he cleansed the temple, the two times that Scripture records that he cleansed the temple, he did that and he was jealous for his Heavenly Father in doing that. However, when our anger is uncontrolled, it becomes sin. Or when the object of our anger becomes misplaced. In other words, we carry out our anger against someone who's done us no wrong. In those cases, it does become a sin. So anger is not always a sin. Guilt is not always sin. The Lord sometimes gives us a godly guilt by our conscience or by His convicting Holy Spirit to help us get back onto the straight and narrow way that He has for us. That kind of guilt is good and useful. However, we need to understand that Satan loves to use guilt in our life. He wants to paralyze you with guilt. There's some things that you probably already taken to the Lord in prayer and asked for forgiveness. You confessed it. You've forsaken it. And you did that. The devil keeps bringing it back up to you and saying, "You remember that?" And he wants you to remember that and have that guilt all over again. When we allow guilt over something that God has cleansed us from and forgiven us for affect us, then it's sin because we're not walking in faith. And when the Bible says if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, you're not acting on faith on that verse. And Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Grief is not always a sin. Grief is a gift from God when used to help us heal from loss or sorrow of some kind. Paul didn't tell the Thessalonian believers not to grieve over their departed loved ones. He told them not to grieve as others which have no hope. There in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But listen, if we refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to comfort our grief, then what can happen is our grief can turn into a self-pity. And self-pity is a sin. Anger, guilt, grief, are they a sin? Maybe or maybe not. We don't know. But listen, there's one human emotion that is always, always, always a sin. Without exception, and that is bitterness. Bitterness and a spirit of unforgiveness are always sin. If someone spits in my face, they have sinned against me. But if in response I hold bitterness in my heart toward them, then I have also sinned. We may question someone's motives for doing something, or they may say or do something that we find to be very hurtful. We may feel that they have sinned against us. And depending on the circumstances, they may very well have. But that doesn't give us the right to join in on the sinning by responding wrongly to a hurt. We're talking about responding rightly. Who is that one that comes to mind when we talk about bitterness? There might be more than one. Who is it that we personally hold bitter feelings against? I hope this morning that you can be honest with yourself and honest before God. Don't try to explain it away or justify the bitterness that may be there in your life. The Holy Spirit of God, when I was talking about these things, brought this to your mind for a reason. It is because He loves us and wants to rid us of that cancer of bitterness that is eating us from the inside out. It may have been a short time ago or it may have been a long time ago when the hurt or injustice took place. But listen, if bitterness is still there, it's because we've never truly forgiven them for it. And whatever we do, let's not say, "Well, you know, I don't hardly think about them at all." That's not even the question. The question is, when we do think about them, what are our thoughts toward them? We need to have the attitude that looks to the Lord and says, Lord, thank you for forgiving me, even though I continue to hurt you at times, and I don't deserve to be forgiven. And that's what our text there in Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We need to say, Lord, thank you for not holding my sins against me. And Lord, thank you for giving me the power also to forgive others. And then we use that power that He gives us to forgive, to forgive. So let's be honest today. If we have bitter feelings, let's not deny it. And I want us to look at some things today. We're going to look at four today, and Lord willing, four next week. As we preach on this subject of guarding against bitterness in our lives. Guarding against bitterness in our lives. First thing I want you to see is we must guard against bitterness because it upsets our spiritual life. It upsets our spiritual life. A couple of things here. Bitterness causes us to walk in the flesh rather than walk in the spirit. Every believer has a choice every day, many times a day actually, to walk in the flesh or to walk in the spirit. Those are the only two choices. All right. Galatians 5:16-17 says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now listen, we can't control what happens to us in this life. But we can control how we respond and how we react to those things. And so if we have unresolved bitterness in our life, we're not right with God. And we're not walking in the Spirit, but we're walking in the flesh. If we're walking in the Spirit, guess what? The fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifested. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Listen, those things are in direct opposition to bitterness. We're to walk with the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our life. But those things I just mentioned are the very things that we hold back from when we choose to be bitter and remain bitter. When we're in the presence of that person that we're bitter toward, we don't feel like displaying love. So we don't. When we think about them, we don't feel any joy. And we have no peace at all within. We aren't very long-suffering. If we were, we would give some latitude. But if we would just walk in the Spirit and think about how much we've been forgiven by Christ, then it would make it easier for us to forgive them. Even when, if we deem that they don't deserve forgiveness. Because listen, there's not a one of us here this morning that deserved Christ's forgiveness. We didn't deserve it. We didn't get forgiven and get saved because we deserved it, because we didn't. That's the way Christ's forgiveness is. That's meekness. When we choose to walk in the Spirit, we can and will erase that person from our hit list. Now, the last chapter of Galatians drives it home, Galatians 6:7-8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, see, if we sow bitterness in our life, we're going to reap the corruption of that bitterness. Bitterness will devastate us spiritually. Because, listen, bitterness interferes with your ability to worship God. Oh yeah, you can sing, but you're not going to sing from the heart if you're full of bitterness. You can maybe mumble the words, but you're not going to be in tune with what the Lord would want you to in tune with when you come to the worship service. It's impossible to be wrong with man and right with God at the same time. And understand, the person doesn't even have to be around us anymore. In fact, that person that you're bitter at could even be in the grave right now. And you can still hold a grudge. When we do that, listen, we can't be right with God. Bitterness causes us to walk in the flesh rather than walk in the Spirit. Another thing, bitterness halts our spiritual growth. Now, every believer should want to grow in grace, not only because we've been commanded to do it, but because we all should want to be all that we can be for God. And you're not going to be all that you can be for God unless you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18. We should all desire to reach our fullest potential for God. We should all want to use our spiritual gifts for God's glory. We should all want to grow in grace. But listen, if we harbor bitterness, the growth process stops right there. You're not going to grow if you're holding bitterness within. It's not going to move. You can't move forward with the Lord until you put that bitterness behind you. So let me ask, are you holding on to any bitterness this morning? If so, Christ wants us to be free from bitterness because bitterness upsets our spiritual life. Second thing I want us to see is we must guard against bitterness because it upsets our physical life. When what happens to us becomes more than just an occurrence, you know, things happen to us as an occurrence. But when it becomes more than that, it can affect our physical health. Bitterness can be like a constant running machine. When we don't forgive and our bitterness becomes more of a lifestyle, it can enter into our subconscious mind. And it'll run while we're sleeping, while we're eating, while we're watching TV, or whatever else we're involved in. It's just constantly there. And it's eating on you. Many medical doctors agree that bitterness affects our body and our physical health. Bitterness has been medically linked to such things as glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers, and even more. Now, I'm not implying for a moment that all physical sickness is caused by bitterness, because it's not. But I am saying it's impossible to be bitter and stay bitter and it not affect your body in some way. It's going to affect your body. You can count on it. So for our health's sake, we need to let Christ set us free from bitterness. A third thing is that we must guard against bitterness because it upsets our emotional life. You know, where there's bitterness, there can also be anxiety and extreme discouragement. Bitterness that is not dealt with can lead to paranoia and even other emotional problems. We can even develop a victim's mentality. How much do we see that today? We can become negative. We can become critical of others. And even extremely judgmental, even thinking we know what others' motives are when we can't. You know, you can't know another person's motives unless they tell you that's what their motive is. Well, I know what they're thinking. No, you don't. You're not a mind reader. We can begin to have trouble in our personal relationships with others because of these things. Just think for a minute. Who among us this morning likes being around someone who comes across as being constantly bitter, negative, critical of others, extremely judgmental, and paranoid? I don't know about you, but I like to avoid those kind of people. You get sucked into their negativity. Emotional distress can lead to feelings of being overwhelmed, helpless or hopeless, can lead to worries of sin, to difficulty in thinking or remembering and doing daily tasks. And it can affect your sleep, whether you get too much or too little. It can bring on changes in your appetite. It can have you where you can't achieve peace in your life. It'll alter your mood. It isolates us from people. You know, people don't want to be around us when we got a bad attitude. We're going to be isolated, aren't we? We just are, from people or activities. To experience unusual anger or irritability, that's brought on by that emotional distress. Bitterness upsets our emotional life. A fourth thing here. We've scarred against bitterness because it upsets our church life. Upsets our church life. If you want to kill your church, if you want to destroy the ministries of a church, if you want to harm the bitterness, the cause of Christ in the community, then just harbor bitterness for someone else who attends here. Now understand that we're all human, including your pastor, okay? And at times we may give each other a reason to be offended. Sometimes it's unintentional, and sometimes it's not, and sometimes we can offend somebody without even knowing it. You ever done that? You said something or looked at somebody a particular way, and you didn't realize how you were looking at them or even what you said or how it offended them. There was a dad one time he told his son, "Son, I'm taking your mama to the doctor for her colitis." And the son asked, "Well, who did mama collide with this time?" Yeah. Hopefully we're not that way. Collisions will happen, even within the fellowship of the church. We can't completely avoid that, but we can control how we respond. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Not responding with bitterness. Someone may say, "Well, you don't know what they said to me or did to me." And listen, I don't mean to minimize your pain or to sound arrogant, but you're not the first person or the last that's going to be hurt in a church. just not. Sometimes we just need a good old-fashioned dose of growing up. We do. We need to grow up and get over things that have hurt us and move forward for Christ. We need to remember that we don't deserve God's forgiveness, and even if they don't deserve ours, it's still the right thing to do. So forgive. Amen? I've been in ordained ministry now for a little over 39 years, and at times I've been lied to, lied about, criticized falsely, my motives judged. My sincerity has sometimes been questioned, but listen, maturity each time begs me to blow it off, because it's to be expected if you're trying to do what's right. Remember what Paul told Timothy? "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It's going to come your way. I would have quit a long time ago if I allowed every hurt that came my way to affect me in the wrong way. Listen, there are bigger things to focus on, and we cannot allow our eyes to be diverted off the real goal. The way I see it, God is my defender. Okay? God's my defender. And He'll be yours too, if you'll let go and let God take care of it. Don't take things into your own hands. Put it in His. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. First Peter 2, verse number 19. Peter writes this, and he said, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffering wrongfully. What glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Now I want you to read that again. "If when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Are you doing the acceptable thing with the Lord? Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, remember when he was reviled on the cross? People walking by and reviling him right there. Did he yell back at them? He cast it back in their face? No, he didn't, did he? When he suffered, he threatened not. What do we see when he suffered? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Committed himself to his heavenly Father, whose own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. And that's what he wants us to do. Live unto righteousness. God sometimes allows us to be hurt. I think he allows it to test us. Will we become bitter, or will we become better through the situation? Sometimes he allows valleys to be cut into our soul. But you know, he can use those valleys as a channel through which he can transmit his grace. If we will allow the wound to heal, he can transmit his grace. And by leaving it in the hands of the great physician, not taking it into our own hands, it will heal. Bitterness divides the fellowship. Somebody said, you don't know what happened. And listen, I don't really need to know when I can feel the divide. In Christian love and on the authority of God's word, people need to forgive one another so they can move on from their bitterness for Christ's sake. I'm going to have you turn to one other place that's not in your notes, okay? As I was looking back over my message this morning, this came to mind. Turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3. And I want to begin reading verse number 12. Colossians 3 verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Here's what we're to put on. Bowels of mercies. In other words, showing mercy. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. That means putting up with one another. That's what forbearing means. To put up with one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, that agape love, that love that seeks the highest good for the other person. He said, which is the bond of perfectness. And verse 15 is what came to mind this morning. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Would you think about this now? Let the peace of God rule. Does God's peace want to rule in your life? It does, but you got to let it. And you can't let it if you got bitterness. You just can't. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now we're going to drive a stake up right there and come back next week, Lord willing, and look at four more things that bitterness will do in our lives. But as we wrap this up, how can we remove the root of bitterness? And make no mistake about it, bitterness is a root. There is only one way I know of to get rid of the fruits of bitterness in one's life. You have to yank bitterness up by the root, or dig it up and get rid of it by God's grace. My dad would put us boys to work, getting rid of weeds out of azalea bushes. And if we were just to pull them off instead of yanking them up by the roots, he said, you'll be back next week. Yeah, and he knew what he was talking about. He wanted us to pull them up by the root. Spray some heavenly Roundup on it, if you will. Forgiveness, only forgiveness. That's heavenly Roundup, okay? Only forgiveness can kill the root of bitterness. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need God's help to do that. Listen, the Lord wants to give you the help this morning. Let the Lord yank the bitterness out of your life and see how much better that your life can be without that bitterness being there. Listen, if you've never been forgiven of your own sin, then you really don't understand the grace, mercy, and forgiveness that God gives. Which means that you really don't know how to forgive. But listen, God's forgiveness is offered to you today. It's a free gift. Christ purchased it. He purchased your peace on the cross. He gave his life so that you can have forgiveness of your sin. It's a free gift. Take it, and then you too will know how to forgive, and you will have the power to forgive. Let's pray. Father, we're talking about things this morning that are difficult. We freely admit that they're difficult. Living in this flesh that we live in, and it has its sinful tendencies, but we also have the blessings of having your Holy Spirit within now. And Lord, if we choose to walk in the Spirit, the flesh doesn't have to rule and can take control of our lives. Lord, your peace can rule in our hearts, just as the Scripture says. Lord, if there's some root of bitterness that's there this morning in someone's life, help them to yank that out. And Lord, if they are in need of salvation, help them to come and receive you and believe on what you have done on their behalf so that they can have forgiveness and they can have your peace, not only for salvation, but also peace in living life, knowing that you are in control. None of us are able by ourselves to deal with this bitterness. We need your help. We ask that you help those that need it this morning so that their lives can be enriched. Doesn't have to affect them. Doesn't have to affect their spiritual life anymore. Doesn't have to affect their physical life anymore. Doesn't have to affect their emotional life anymore. And it doesn't have to affect their church life anymore. They can have peace. They can have your peace if they will forgive and move on from that bitterness. Have your way in this invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.